So I'll just introduce myself for those who don't know me, which I think some of the room doesn't know me.
Yes, I know you.
So some of you don't. So my name is Yoshua Liss. I am originally from a place called Wales in the United Kingdom, Cardiff. I lived there until the age of 18. At 18, I started my yeshiva, my year out in yeshiva, in Yeshiva Tokotel, in the Old City. I then stayed there for 8 years. I did Hesder. I joined the army, and now we are here. This is the end of my second year, start of my third year as one of the Israeli Chavrei Akola of the YU tournament, Yom Kippur.
You know Yeshiva
Doraita? Yeah, your son is.
My grandson is going now.
Okay, right, you said. Okay, so we now are in times of the 3 weeks, a period of the 3 weeks, something which we remember, the terrible things which happened. But we can also, in recent history, realize the incredible things which have happened in Jewish history. If we look on the front cover, the picture there is Rav Goren at the Kotel HaMaravi after conquering the Kotel HaMaravi with the Sefer Torah, and behind him it is the Rav HaNazir, one of Rav Cook's Talmidim. The Rav HaNazir, David Cohen, was known as the Nazir because he took the Nazirite oath. He took the Nazirite oath and was actually a real Nazir. And then you have next to the Rav HaNazir on the extreme left, you have Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, Rav Cook's son. And the person on the right is the Tokei. I'm not sure who it is. I was once in, if anyone has heard of very popular musicians today, Aaron and Yonatan Razel. They're very popular Jewish musicians today. They're brothers. They don't necessarily sing together. One of them has a hit with Shweki. Of Vihi Shamda, the famous recent tune. So they own, his parents own half of Nachlot. They, when Nachlot was a drug area, they bought up half of Nachlot. And I was at their house. And I was at their house and I saw a shofar. Above the shofar I saw the picture of the man in the kotel blowing the shofar.
That was Garunchek.
Yeah, so I asked him, is that the same shofar? He said, and the wife of the mother of Yonatan and Aaron Razel said, no, it's not the shofar. But in that picture, that's my husband. Behind them, there were three chayalim. One of the chayalim was, well, there were lots of chayalim. One of those chayalim was her husband, who ran to the kotel as soon as he heard it was captured to be one of the first people there. So we see these incredible things. But one of the questions which is asked by many, and one of the things which the Aguda in Israel said with the establishment of the state, that we will support it if it will be a religious state. If it is a religious, a state of sinners, or people who don't necessarily always follow the Torah, how can we follow a state like this? So today we are going to try and discuss the two R's, redemption and repentance. Can redemption happen without national repentance, or can it not? What are possibly the different ways of understanding the different Gemarot which speak about whether you need repentance before redemption, whether the nation of Israel as a whole needs to repent. So to understand that, we will see one Gemara, which is the opener to the whole discussion. From Sanhedrin, source 1. Amar Rav, Kalu kol hakitzim, all the ends are finished. Says Rav, all the ends are finished. Meaning, Kodesh Baruch Hu took out his calendar when he created the world, wrote into the calendar all these different dates which the tshuva could, the redemption could come, and all those have passed, and the only thing which is left now is tshuva. That is going to be the catalyst, says Rav. If the Am Yisrael do not do tshuva, then redemption cannot come. So Rashi in the second line says b'tshuva, im kol Yisrael, kol, every single Jew needs to do tshuva, according to our opinion, chozim b'tshuva yavo, vimlav lo yavo. According to this opinion, the Gemara, Rav, and according to Rashi's understanding, unless the whole nation does a national repentance, there will not be redemption. V'shmuel amar, in the third line, dayo la'abel she'amod be'evlo. It is enough for the mourner to remain in its mourning. That we is not dependent on redemption, on repentance. It will come in its time. Avel doesn't have to do anything to end his Avela. So it ends on its own. So too the redemption. We'll see. So then Rashi. What does Rashi explain in the fourth paragraph? Dayo level shomed ba'avlo. Dayo, who's the Avel? Who's the mourner? Dayo la'kosh baruch hu shomed kamayamim v'yamin ochor. It's enough for kosh baruch hu to stand with his right hand stretched back. Klomar, im lo yasuv tshuva. If they won't repent. Eno omed ba'avlo. He doesn't remain as a mourner. Kosh baruch hu mourns for us, for his nation which have sinned and become distant. He won't just remain in his mourning for the rest of eternity. Rather, he jumps on the idea. Another understanding Rashi says, is not that Kosh Baruch Hu is the mourner, it is us mourning. And what are we mourning? We are mourning the exile. And even without just the suffering of the exile, that will be enough to cause Kosh Baruch Hu to bring the redemption. Okay, so these are two Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara now, in the fifth paragraph, makes a statement. Okay, very good. So it's a discussion between two Amoraim. But perhaps this goes back to the period of the Tanaim. And that's what the Gemara says. Ketanai, in the fifth paragraph. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Yisrael osin tshuva nigalin. If I'm Yisrael do tshuva, they are redeemed. Vimlav, ein nigalin. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. If they do tshuva, if they repent, there's redemption. If not, no. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. It may not seem tshuva, any galin. Can this really be true that it's dependent solely on redemption? Ella. This is perhaps a more scary option, but this is what Rabbi Yeshua says. Ella. Second line of the fifth paragraph. Hakosh baruch hu mamid lehen melech shigzeotav kashot kehaman. Kosh baruch hu, if Am Yisrael don't repent, he will bring an evil king who will bring gzerot decrees which are as bad as Haman's. V'Yisrael sin tshuva machzian lemutav. When this king turns around and does these gzerot, Am Yisrael will repent on their own because of the fear of the decrees. Tani idach. It's taught elsewhere. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Im Yisrael sin tshuva nigalein, shneimar. Now, I missed out some of this Gemara because it goes back and forth. They each try and bring proofs for their discussion and their opinions. We're going to see some of it when we get to three dot dot dots. No, it keeps on going back and forth for another four or five sources. It's not so important for our discussion, but they keep going back. The importance is how the discussion ends. But we'll just see some of that discussion. Third line of the fifth paragraph in the middle. What's his evidence? Shuvu vanim shovavim. Erpe meshuvatechem. As it is written, return rebellious children, I will heal you. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, but the Rabbi Yeshua, the one who says that it's not dependent on repentance, rather an evil king will be appointed by Kosh Baruch Hu. Has it not already been said, you were sold without money, and without money you will be redeemed, meaning you were exiled because of not having sins. And you were redeemed without having any kesef, meaning without having any merits.
But it's not true. They were exiled because they were sin.
No. Right. Meaning, they were exiled because of not having any mitzvot. Sorry, chinam. Chinam means, you're right. Chinam means sold without having any merits. And so too, when it says v'lob kesef tikalu, just as you were sold for free, because you didn't have anything to pay a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so too you will be, the Pasuk says that v'lo b'kesef tigalu, and so too you will not be redeemed with money. Chinam nimkartem, b'avod azara, how you were sold because of azara. V'lo b'kesef tigalu, and you will not be redeemed with money. Lo b'tshuva ma'asim tovim. Okay. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, has it not already been said, this is the last, I mean it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, this is the last Pasuk which Rabbi Yeshua brings to prove that he is right and it is not dependent on repentance, rather this evil king will come. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, v'alok far ne'emar, haven't we already said, v'eshma et ha'ish levush abadim asher m'ma limei hayor v'yam yimino u'smola el ha'shamayim v'ishba b'chay olam ki l'moed mo'adim v'chetzi u'chalot nefatz yad am kadosh tachilena kol eile. So there's this Pasuk speaks about this man clothed in clothing, who will swear, make an oath, and this is his last proof. Doesn't really matter what the context of that pasuk is, it matters what Rabbi Eliezer's reply is to that. The Gemara ends with these words, three words, V'shatak Rabbi Eliezer. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, Rabbi Eliezer ends with being quiet. Okay. So the Maharsha explains this Gemara. So the Maharsha was from Krakow, 1555 to 1631. He was, Maharsha stands for Moreno Harav Rabbi Shmuel Idols. What's Idols? Idols was the name of his mother-in-law. Why did he take on the name of his mother-in-law? Because his father-in-law passed away. I'm not sure even, I think before he even got married, and she supported them. She was a very wealthy woman. She inherited her husband's and managed to succeed in business still. And as a show of gratitude for his mother-in-law's support, he took on his mother-in-law's name as part of his name. Quite unheard of. I'm not sure as mother-in-laws anyone has experienced that yet. But in any case. So what does he explain the source to? Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Im Yisrael osin tshuva, dainu tshuva rotzonit mitzad atzman. So Rabbi Eliezer explained, or the Maharsha wants to explain, what is this machloket? Rabbi Eliezer, on one hand, thinks that you have to, every single Jew, without coercion, is going to get to a level where every single Jew is going to repent of his own volition, voluntarily. That's Rabbi Eliezer. End of first line, v'shivlo Rabbi Yeshua. Dahu kra b'tshuva hechachit kamar. No, it's actually talking about not voluntary tshuva, but rather forced tshuva. Kamar. Le'el ma'amid lehem melech u'machzer mutav. Meaning, there is not such a big machloket between the two. According to the Maharsha, one holds that is voluntary teshuva, Rabbi Eliezer, and one holds that it's forced. That forced, or the king will come. Okay, fine. But how do you understand the science of Rabbi Eliezer? What's interesting, the Yushalmi has the same discussion, but the discussion there is different, ends differently. If you look in source 3, instead of v'shatak, Rabbi Eliezer, it says v'istalik, Rabbi Eliezer. What does istalik mean? It's Aramaic. He removes himself. Instead of just being quiet, Rabbi Eliezer removes himself. Rabbi Nathan Freeland was a rabbi in Kovna and Lita from 1808 to 1883. He came to Zionism independently, didn't have any contact with Zionist rabbis. Eventually he became the shaliach of Rav Kalischer, after already meeting, but he came to this decision on his own. And he says this on this Gemara. And the Gemara there ended with the words in the first Gemara in the Bavli, in source 1. And the Gemara there ended with the words, and Rabbi Eliezer was quiet. My teacher and rabbi, Rabbi Zandel Salanter, told me that silence is like admittance. Shtika kohoda damia. This is a halachic concept that if you're based in, or if you're accused and you don't defend yourself, shtika kohoda. Quiet is like admittance. So, why does the Gemara in Sanhedrin end with, and Rabbi Eliezer was quiet? According to Rabbi Nathan Freeland, because he is admitting that it doesn't have to be voluntary. Even if it's forced, even if it's coerced, it still works, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring the redemption. And that is the reason for this bizarre ending in the Gemara. And what is the reason for this bizarre ending in the Gemara? It comes to teach one thing and one thing only. The Rabbi Eliezer conceded to Rabbi Yoshua. So, according to this understanding of Gemara, we paskin like who? Like Rabbi Yeshua, that it doesn't need to be coerced. Sorry, it doesn't need to be voluntary. It can even be a coerced repentance. Not everyone understands this Gemara in that way. Many understand it as ending in a machloket. Shatak, because he didn't have anything to answer, but he still continues with his own opinion. Very soon after this Gemara, we have a very popular Gemara in Zionist circles, in source 4. Vama Rabbi Abba. Ein lecha keitz mugule mizeh. There's no clearer end than what we're about to say. What sign, if you want to look outside and see some sign for redemption, you're standing on, I don't know, on the rooftop of Oraita or Yeshiva Tokota or Eish, and you're looking over at Israel. You're standing at the Golan, and you're looking over the Galil. What sign do you want to look for to check if the Gula is on its way or not? So the Gemara says, "En lachaketz megule mezeh." What is the sign? Shneimar. as it says in Yechezkel, Vatem hare Yisrael ampechem tnu upechem tisu la'ami Yisrael ki kevulavo. I'll translate. And you, the mountains of Israel, give out your branches, lift up your fruits, because the nation of Israel is coming back to its land. Rashi, everyone there explains that what is the sign when Eretz Yisrael again blossoms agriculturally, that is a sign that redemption is coming. So we've obviously seen that today. And this Makor would Lechora contradict the first Makor that we saw. Does it need repentance? Does it not need repentance? Well, we'll see now that Rav Svi Yehuda Cook thinks that this source, in source 4, is an answer to source 1. Again, how did source 1 end? Rabbi Eliezer was quiet. Seems like he is admitting to Rabbi Yehoshua. Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, Rav Cook's son, who passed away in 1982, has a different understanding of the process the Gemara goes through. What is the connection between these two statements? Meaning the connection statement in number 4, that we just saw about the land blossoming, and number 1 of the Gemara of redemption and repentance, how it connects. We are obliged to say that the connection between both statements is topical. Since the redemption is not dependent on repentance, as per the conclusion of the Gemara, how should we now recognize the coming of the redemption? If, according to Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, we don't know now if it's, meaning, I go outside, according to the Gemara in source 1, if you really do need repentance, I would go out with a questionnaire to every single Jew in the world, check his mitzvah observance, and if everyone ticks every single box, great. I'll call up Kosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Baruch Hu, the Gula can come.
Mashiach will come.
Mashiach will come, right. I'll call up Kosh Baruch Hu, Mashiach will come, Gula will come, everything's fine. But seeing as that's not the conclusion of the Gemara, which questionnaire do I now leave the Beit Midrash with to check? I've learned this Gemara now. I now know that there are signs that the Gula is coming. Redemption, repentance, okay, I'm not sure how this Gemara goes. Says Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, this is what this Gemara is coming to teach in source 4. It's not redemption and repentance. You need to go out and ask the local Israeli farmers, how's the produce going? Compare it to 100 years ago, 200 years ago. See if anything has dramatically changed. And that's how you're going to know. How should we now recognize the coming of the redemption? We shall recognize it through the fact that the land of Israel shall give its fruits in abundance. With this explanation, I merited to arrive at the same conclusion as Rabbi Zundel Slanter and the rabbi, Rabbi Yisrael Slanter, the father of the Musar movement. So, we have now the Gemara, redemption, repentance, and we have the Gemara which suggests another way. Another way to know. It's not connected to redemption, repentance. Meaning, if the land is blossoming, it means Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring the redemption. Doesn't matter whether he sees us sinning or not. If God has chosen to make the land blossom, then it's a sign that the redemption is coming. We talked, if we turn over, we talked about Kalu Kol HaKitzin, all the ends are finished. That's what we mentioned in source 1, that all the ends are finished and the only thing which is left is repentance. Okay. But there's another Gemara which suggests something else. Again, there are many Gemaras, and this is why it's so important to understand that for me to say right here now, it's not dependent on repentance, is untrue, because there are Gemaras which suggest it. Today, all I'm trying to prove is to say that Gula cannot come because all of Am Yisrael has not repented, is untrue, because there are so many contradicted Gemaras, and we're going to see the Rambam. The last thing we're going to see is the Rambam who says, it doesn't matter. All these things doesn't matter.
So Abba Kuk is much more Mekarev, even accepted
right.
Analysis.
Right.
So it depends also on
right.
Interpretation.
For sure. So, source 5. The Gemara, in the same Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rami, Ketiv Bita, V'Ketiv Achishena. So there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu which contradicts itself. It says, Ani Hashem, which is in contradiction, I am Hashem, Be'ita, in its time, Achishena, I will bring it speedily. What's it referring to? The Geula. I will bring it in its time speedily. Which is seemingly a contradiction. It is a contradiction. I will bring it in its time speedily. What does that mean? Either it's in its time or it's speedily. So Rami, the word Rami here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rami, Rami means he threw them up together. There's a contradiction. There's a contradiction in this pasuk. So, how does he explain it? Last five words of that line. Zachu, achishena. If they merit, I'll bring it speedily. Lo zachu beita. Meaning, the redemption will come. Kosh Baruch Hu is counting, has, if you've seen the picture, the cross on the calendar, beita. There's been a few beitot, right? We've had the Ramban, Rav Sadia Gaon, all these Chachamim worked out, according to Sefer Daniel, when the Gula is going to come. And these, well, last time I checked, we haven't had Mashiach in the last 2,000 years. Pardon?
Is that correct? Isn't it the other way around? Zachu beita, lo zachu.
No.
No,
yes, no. Yeah. Zachu, I will bring it speedily. If not, it will come in its time. You'll have to wait even longer. So there's, they have worked out all these times. Seemingly they were unfortunately incorrect. But Zachu, if God put a date somewhere in the calendar, many people try to work out when that date is. There possibly are many dates. We don't know. But that date's in the calendar. If we want to bring it quicker, we do it through mitzvot. Meaning there is, according to this source, some connection between redemption and repentance. If you want to speed it up, repent. Do the right thing. Merit it. If not, you're going to have to wait until that date in the calendar comes. So we've seen three sources. One which suggests a definitive connection between repentance and redemption. One suggests that just look outside, see how the farmer Joe is doing. And source number three is there is a connection, but it just speeds it up. It's not toloi ze beze, it's not definitively, it doesn't have to be connected, and God has said it will happen. So now we need to understand, according to whom is the halacha. So Rav Sadia Gaon was alive in 1882 to 942. He lived in Bavel. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Sura. There were two big yeshivot, one of them was Sura in Bavel. So he says this. Ma'aminim anachnu shehu natan leshibudenu shnei zmanim. We believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave our enslavement two times. Two specific times. Ha'echad mehem zman ha'tshuva v'asheni zman ha'ketz. Meaning, God has in his mind two times. Tshuva and the end. God has in his mind that it has to happen at some point. If you want to repent, good for you, then I'll enact it on the repentance. But if not, you have zman haketz, the time of the end. Whichever one comes first will be saved, will have salvation. It's like in Israel, you have sales. They have them in America as well. While stocks last. They have sales according to this date or while stocks last. So that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu has in his mind as well. Is it going to happen? There's a sale on. Whichever one comes first. Either the date of non-connected to repentance, or if you get going and do tshuva and I run out of stock, the gula is going to come. And that is very connected to the shita of source 5, which is so if they merit, it will come speedily. Yadanu, middle line of source 6, second line in the middle. Yadanu, shim tshuvatenu lo tia shlema. We know that if we do not repent fully, nisher ad shishalem haketz. We'll wait. We'll have to wait until the end comes. Kashe yishalem haketz v'lo nashuv. And then God's going to be sitting there with his stopwatch, waiting for that time to come. If we still haven't repented, efshari, it is possible. Shitiyah yishua v'anachu chotim. It's possible that Mashiach will come. It may not be a very proud time for the Jews, because we'll be sinners, but Mashiach will come. It's possible that the Gula will come when we're still sinning. V'keman sharach hazman, v'lo shavnu, yachzireinu b'li tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu has been waiting and waiting and waiting. V'keman sharach hazman, since the time has gone so long, he will redeem us without repentance. So that is Rav Sadia Gaon's opinion. He poskens not by the Gemara between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. He poskens by, if they will merit, it will come speedily. Do that extra effort. So Rabbeinu Bechaye, he has two burial places. It's not so clear why he has two burial places. He has both two burial places in Israel. Seemingly there were two Rabbeinu Bechayes, so we're not sure which one is his burial place. One is next to the Navi Habakkuk in the Galilee. Another one is elsewhere in Israel, but we're not sure which one is that Rabbeinu Bechaye. He was alive in 1255 to 1340. He was a Talmud of the Rashba. And he writes very, very extensively about redemption and repentance. He has many, many Sfarim dealing with it, as does the Abar Barnel, which we're going to see after Source 8, after Source 7. So in that picture is his burial place, the one next to the Navi Habakkuk. One of them is Habakkuk, next door is the Rabbeinu Bechaye.
Okay. Is it Bechaye ben Pekuda?
No, this is Bechaye ben Asher.
So there are two,
right. Okay. ולפי דעתי, עשו זה בכוונה גמורה לפי עניין הפרשה. כי יש בפרשה התארות ורמז והבטחה לישראל בגולה שיבוד ארבע מלכויות. We have four kings which are going to enslave us. There's a machloket how we count them. Is Ishmael part of Edom, or is Bavel and Med, or Yavan and Rome? Is it one? We have four. We just have to fit them in, choose. We have to combine a few to make sure it's four, because this idea that there's going to be four kings which enslave us. V'gam yesh ba od remez ki agula tluya b'tshuva. Okay. Va'af im lo yasu tshuva, and even if they don't do tshuva, yefshar litacher mizman haketz ha-katzuv. It is impossible that the geula will not come. It is impossible. Why? Because yes, there's a connection with tshuva, and we should all really be doing tshuva, but it is impossible. God has promised us that there will be redemption. So, imagine, chas v'shalom, the Jewish people will not do this national repentance, it will still come. V'igia to haketz hakatzuv lo yisher l'yisrael shum avdut bilti avdat Hashem yitbach. And when that time comes, we will no longer be enslaved, we will be enslaved and serve only one thing, and that is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'amal. And this is the parasha he's talking about. He's talking about the Yovel, right? If I sell land during the 50-year cycle, I'm supposed to, or I can, if I have money, I can buy it back, or I can wait till the 50th year and it comes back anyway. And this is what he's saying is a hint towards the redemption process. Meaning, what does money mean? Money means good deeds. If someone has money to buy back his land, good deeds, he buys it back quicker, he redeems the land. Am Israel can redeem themselves and get redemption. But if you don't have money, then the 50th year, no matter what, 50 years always go by. You can't make a 50th year disappear. That 50th year is a Zman Katsuv. It is an established time and it will come. V'amal o hisiga yado v'nigal kloma b'kesef v'hi agula b'tshuva hanimshelet l'kesef ki v'shem ha-kesef lavan v'tahor kach ha-tshuva mitaheret ha-nefesh u'malbenet ha-avonot. Why does it not say gold? Why does it say kesef, silver? It could have said any other thing which is worthwhile. What color is kesef? Kesef is white. It hints towards purity. When you have that purity of kesef, of redemption, of repentance, then you can get repentance. V'amar. But hold on a second. V'im lo yikel be'ele. But if he doesn't redeem himself with these, with kesef, shim lo yikel al yedei tshuva b'shnot ha-galut ha'ele, v'yatsa b'shnat ha-yvel, hu v'anav imo. He redeems himself, if he's a slave, he redeems his land, if he's sold his land. Okay. The time is set, there's nothing we can do about it. So the Abar Barnel, Rabbi Yitzchak Abar Barnel, fought against the Spanish Inquisition, and not surprisingly, he writes a lot about redemption, because his fellow Jews needed a lot of hope in that time. So we're going to skip to the last, the underlined. Last but one line. Ve'al ze amar ve'lo bekesef tigalu. You will not be redeemed with money. Ki dima b'inyanam machichim mechiratam, I'm sorry, legulatam. Just as the sale was done, so too the redemption. Shiuchotim b'zman ha'gula kamo b'et ha'galut v'amechira. Actually thinks, the pasuk actually hints towards that just as they were sold without any merits, they actually have to be redeemed without any merits. So much so that according to the Ababa'al, it might actually be counterproductive, and if we have a righteous nation around us, that would imply that redemption can't come yet. We actually, according to the Ababa'al, we might need to be sinners to be able to get redemption. Just as you were exiled in sin, you will be redeemed in sin, which is an interesting concept, not something we hope for, but that's what he suggests. Okay. We have Yosef Elbor. His most famous sefer is Sefer Ikarim, which talks about the Ikarei Emunah. He splits up differently to the Rambam. And he says this in Source 9. And David Melech says, let Israel hope for Hashem, for with Hashem is kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. Meaning to say, do not despair from hope in Hashem because of the multitude of sins, since in the future you will not be redeemed because of your merits, as your merits will not be enough to bring redemption. Bilam, the Netivot Shalom explains that Bilam, what was his effort? Bilam wanted the Jews to despair and to believe if a Jew sins, God doesn't forgive him. So, in a similar way, Rav Yosef Elbow was saying, don't think that. Don't think that God will not redeem you if you sin, because your sins are going to be too much for God to forgive. And your merits, sorry, will not be enough to redeem you. Mamash, it won't be. Rather, redemption will come from the depths of suffering out of heavenly benevolence. And even if there will be many sins, with him is abundant redemption. It is impossible. This is an incredible concept. Four lines up from the end. If it is impossible for the sinner's power to sin to be greater than Hashem's power to forgive. You think you have an evil guy in your neighborhood who wants to really fall out with God. This concept says God's power, ability to forgive is greater than any individual or any nation's or the Jewish nation's ability to sin. God is always able to forgive. So don't think just because we sin so greatly, God can't bring redemption. Doesn't matter. God has promised and it will come.
That's not an incentive to do tshuva.
Okay, no, it's not. Okay, it's not an incentive. It's not an incentive, but it does give the Jews hope over the centuries. No matter what's happened, no matter how many Jews have been forcibly converted or been whatever, there is still hope because God said, I have an abundant ability to forgive. He will redeem Israel from all iniquities, and this is the reason why rabbis attached to the idea of the national redemption, the concept of time and merit. They said, Ani Hashem, if they merit, it will come speedily. If not, it will come in its time. Again, another source which seemingly ignores the first source that we saw. Okay, we don't have much time, so we may have to skip a few things. But this is Rav Yehuda Elkalai, who was a rabbi from Serbia, Sarajevo. This is him and his wife on the day, in the period they were about to make Aliyah. They were in Vienna. Someone took a picture of them. They're about to make Aliyah. He was alive in 1798 to 1878. He made Aliyah in 1874 and passed away 4 years later. Him and his wife made Aliyah together. He was in the same days as Rav Kalisher. They were very, very close friends. They wrote a lot together to each other. Rav Kalisher in Drishat Sion quotes Rav Yehuda Elkalai a lot. Okay. National repentance and individual repentance. Individual repentance means when a sinner repents for his sins according to the parameters of the Rishonim defined. This repentance was created before the world, as it is written in the Gemara. The rabbis taught it in brighter. Seven things were created before the creation of the world. The Torah, repentance, Gan Eden, Gehinnom, the throne of glory, the Beit HaMikdash, and the name of Mashiach. And the reason it is called individual repentance, Tshuva Pratit, is because it is needed to be done in detail, for pratim. That's why it's called individual, prat, detail. For every individual and individual, according to his or her sin, according to the extremity of the sin, so too will the repentance need to be even more extreme. Hashem will bring a king whose decrees are as bad as those of Haman, and will force them to return to good. This is the Gemara we saw. Meaning to say, if they will not return to Eretz Yisrael, meaning he turns it, what is it, lashuv? Tshuva means to repent. He thinks the Gemara actually means to return to the land of Israel. When the discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about returning, not returning, repenting, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi thinks it means what? Returning to the land of Israel. The Jews of their own volition do not want to return to the land of Israel. A king like Haman will come and force decrees on the Jewish people to either force them to go to Israel, or they will want to run away. Unfortunately, there's no evil king in France, but unfortunately we're seeing many Jews in France running away because of anti-Semitism, not because of decrees. The Holy One, blessed be He, appoints a king whose decrees are hard and evil and forces them against their will, not for their own good, to return to the land. Meaning many Jews in France are losing a lot. They're not, the choices they're making are not easy on them. It's for their own good because they want to get away from the bad things. Financially, it may not be the best idea for them. So here we have this idea of national repentance and individual repentance. That individually, it doesn't matter what a Jew does. He can be a sinner. You need to repent. But to get national redemption, it's national repentance. And what does that national repentance mean? Not the individual Jew making sure he's putting on his tefillin properly, making sure he lights 20 minutes before Shkia. She lights 20 minutes before Shkia. No, it means returning to the land of Israel. And we actually see other people who back up this idea. So we'll see source 11. All the prophets commanded people to repent. Israel will only be redeemed through tshuva. Okay, the Rambam, we're going to skip the rest. The Rambam says, you need repentance. That would seem to be a bit of a contradiction to Rav Yehuda HaLevi. Whereas Rav Yehuda HaLevi, what's he say? That's what the Rambam meant as well. Source 12, Vatshuva HaKlalit Hazot, Siva Alea Kol HaNevim. Kmo Shema Rabbeinu HaRambam Bichot Tshuva, Kol HaNevim Sivu Ala Tshuva. They need to repent. And what does repenting mean? Ve'nisal Nigalim Ela B'Tshuva. They are only redeemed through repentance. Ratzul Amar Tshuva Klalit Shishuvu L'Yisrael L'Eretz HaKdosha. That's what Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi says the Rambam is saying himself. I've just been given a 5-minute warning, so we have longer than I thought, so we're not going to have to rush. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, who people would call him a Zionist, wasn't the only one who thought this. In Rabbeinu Bechai, in another place, in Source 13, says something very similar. Umi ma'akev, she'en anu nigalin, en shum dva ma'akev ela tshuva. What's holding us back for repentance? Im tevayu nebayu. So, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. If you want it, bayu, want it. So, everyone explains what that pasuk mean. If you want it, want it. It is the geula. If you want the geula, you want it. Everyone explains, daven. If you want the geula, daven for it. Okay. Kromar, im atem mvakshim ligael, bikshu rachamim lefanav. If you want redemption, ask for rachamim. Veshuvu min hagaliyot uvau liyushalayim. And then, after davening, what's the next thing? Return from the exile and come to Yerushalayim. Lemadnu hakatuv b'chan shagula tluya b'tshuva. Here we know that the gula is dependent on tshuva. So, according to Rav Yehuda HaLevi and the Kadar Kemach, the Rabbeinu Bechai in Source 13, they seem to back it up. Really literal aliyah. For those who can't do aliyah, for whatever reason, the Sefer Kuzari may give us a more, something which sits with us better and is more, finds favor with us. So what does the Sefer Kuzari say? Ata takum tarachem siyum ki et lechenana ki vamoed. And we don't really, most people don't know the continuation.
That's from the Kuzari?
No, this is his quote.
That's not from the Kuzari.
No, he explains it in a second. Ata takum tarachem siyum ki et lechenana ki vamoed. Most of us know that bit of the pasuk because it's a song. We don't sing the next. Ki ratzu avadecha et avnea vetafra yichonenu. Okay? You will reestablish and have mercy on Sion, because the time has come to grace it. Ki bamoed, because the time has come. Ki ratzu avadecha et avnea, because they wanted the stones. Vetafra yichonenu, and they graced the dirt. Rotze lomar, says the Kuzari, how can we bring the geula? So there's a discussion in the Kuzari, if everyone knows the Sefer, between the king, the non-Jewish king who eventually converts, in the middle of the Sefer he converts, and the Jew, the Chaver. Interesting point. Why is he called the Chaver? There's a translation which translates Chaver as the rabbi. I think Feldheim or Artscroll translates Chaver as rabbi. So I was in a shiur and someone told me that's a very incorrect translation. Obviously it's incorrect. Chaver means friend. But why did the Kuzari choose the word Chaver as the Jew? I mean, there's the Melech and there's Chaver. Because every Jew needs to know the basics of his religion. It's not limited to rabbis. It's not the rabbi said. Every Jew, we should try and know the basis of our religion. Okay, not everyone knows Hilchot Shechita, not everyone knows Hilchot Get, we aren't expected to know those. But the basics of our religion, we expected. So the king asked the Jew, what about Israel? And he lists all these very nice Gemaras, and then the king asks, so what are you still doing here? And he's a bit embarrassed. The Jew is a bit embarrassed. In the Sefer, the Kuzari writes that in Rabbi Yehuda Levi eventually makes Aliyah. In real life, we don't know what happened to him after he landed. The many stories is very unclear. He may have got killed as soon as he got off the boat. It's very unclear what happened. So the pasuk says that Rotzeh Lomar, the end of the first line in source 14, Rotzeh Lomar Yushalayim Omnam Tibaneh, Yushalayim will be rebuilt. Kshich Seful Bnei Yisrael La. When will Yerushalayim be built? When will the land of Israel be built? When the Bnei Israel long for it, they lust for it, in the highest level of lust, until they grace the land and the stones. Meaning, yes, Aliyah, okay, Rabbi Yehuda Al-Kalai, but we also need to have a simple love for the land and hope and lust for it. According to that, that will bring the gula. Did he mention tshuva? No. The most simple thing, according to Rabbi Yehuda Al-Kalai, is return. You get on the Nefesh B'Nefesh flight, you're there, you're part of that thing. But if that's not possible, then we also have this idea of the Sefer Kuzari of lusting for the land of Israel, really longing to be there. Even if you cannot, for whatever reason, lusting to be there and wanting to connect. So Rabbi Brand told us once that a few years ago they brought Rav Schechter to speak in Hillel Torah. And they had a question and answers. And one of the kids asked Rav Schechter, what comes first, Geula or Tchiyat HaMetim? Magog or Tchiyat HaMetim? And Rav Schechter said, it doesn't matter. Our job is to believe, it doesn't matter. So we're going to see this right now in the last three sources, or the last two sources, and I think I have 2 minutes, so hopefully I can make it. So Rav Yisachar Shlomo Teichdal, the Eim Abad Mismecha, was a Talmud of the Munkacher Rebbe. He was a mini Rebbe in his own right, vehemently anti-Zionist, until the Holocaust, where he went into hiding and ran from Czechoslovakia to Hungary, from Hungary back to Czechoslovakia. He was caught, and he was on a train, and his death is a very... The Nazis threw in bread into the train to see the Jews fight over it, and a Jew got a piece of bread, and one of the Ukrainian non-Jewish prisoners who was also with them stole the bread off the Jew. And Rav Teichdal got up to defend the Jew, and the Ukrainians basically killed him. And his last words were, "Yafutsu mainataya chutza, may my wellsprings, may my springs spread forth." Those were his last words. It's a pasuk. I can't remember where the pasuk is from. Right, it sounds like it, right? So, in Eim Abad Mismecha, he writes this. This is a book proving that how he was mistaken and how Zionism has something to base itself on, at least religious Zionism. Often havayato ve'echut ha'geula ech yatchil ve'ech yugmar ve'ech yishashel hu satum ve'ne'elam. Just as when we don't know when it's going to happen, we don't know the order it's going to happen, and everything is completely hidden from us. And we, because of the time, we're not going to see it inside. But he bases this on the Rambam. The Rambam in source 2 tells us this is going to happen first, this is going to happen second, third, fourth, fifth. But then in the underlying bit says this. Regardless of the debate concerning these questions, neither the order of the occurrence of these events or the precise detail are among the fundamental principles of the faith. Yes, you have to believe in Mashiach, you have to believe in Tchiyat HaMetim. The order it happens isn't so fundamental. You have to believe that redemption is coming. You have to believe that maybe, you know, it will happen. Do you have to believe that it's dependent on redemption or not? Should that be a reason for you to not agree with something or not? No, because everything is unclear. A person should not occupy himself with the agadot and the homiletics concerning these and similar matters, which we have just done. So we are a little bit disagreeing with the Rambam, because we have just learned a little bit about these things. Nor should he consider them as essentials. For study of them will neither bring fear or love of God. Similarly, one should not try to determine the appointed time of the Mashiach's coming. Our sages declared, may the spirits of those who attempt to determine the time of Mashiach's coming expire. Rather, one should await and believe in the general conception of the matter as explained. The Rambam says, you were promised Gula, you were promised Gog and Magog, you were promised Tchatametim, Mashiach, all these things, you were promised them, believe they're going to happen. Do not reject other things because they don't fit into this one Gemara, because there's so many different sources, and maybe purposely these things were left so unclear. And we'll finish with one last thing from Rav Kook. Ha'olam, source 3, second line. Ha'olam muchach hu lavo lidei tshuva shlema. The world will at some point come to the world, not just Am Yisrael, everyone will repent. It's not a question, it will happen. Don't just tell me the Gula is not coming because no one's repenting. One day, everyone will repent. Will the Gula come first? Well, I don't know. But the world, we need to understand, the world will one day repent. En olam, devar, en ba'olam, devar ha'omed, al matzav achar, ki im holech hu umitpatech. The world isn't static. It develops. It progresses. V'itpatchut ha'amitzit ha'shema mukhechet hi lavi lo et ha'briyut ha'gmura. The progression of the world will for sure happen. It will be fixed. Not just the physical, but also the spiritual. The world will be utopian one day soon. With this utopian world, repentance will come. Will the Gula come before? I don't know. Will it come after? I don't know. But Tshuva will come. It's unquestionable. The world will return to God, the whole world, not just the Jewish people. Do we know how it's going to happen? And that's why it's a cliffhanger of an ending. We don't know how it's going to happen. Those who reject this idea, because it hasn't exactly agreed with one Gemara source, they do not have much to stand on, because maybe even purposely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left it very cloudy for us to sit there with Emunah, trying to work towards the Gula Shema. Thank you.